He said, such knowledge, the knowledge of God, God's omniscience, is too wonderful for me. It is high, and I cannot graduate from this school. I cannot receive a degree from knowing the omniscience and the omnipresence of God.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today as we continue in Psalms with the first half of A Degree Beyond Our Reach from Psalm 139. So if you have your Bible, please open it to Psalm 139, and let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of A Degree Beyond Our Reach.
Welcome to the 139th Psalm, one I'm sure that many of you have read over and over again. And I'd like to start out with verse 6 and kind of spread out from there as we examine this particular psalm. In Psalm 139, verse 6, the psalmist says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. And I want to speak to you on this subject this morning, a degree beyond our reach. A degree beyond our reach. As we consider the fact that many of us have finished high school, gone to college, some of us have gone beyond college, these are degrees that we can attain. But I want to talk to you this morning about a degree that you cannot attain. The psalmist plainly laid it out in verse 6, and let us know that this is a degree that you cannot attain. He said, such knowledge, the knowledge of God, God's omniscience, is too wonderful for me. It is high, and I cannot graduate from this school. I cannot receive a degree from knowing the omniscience and the omnipresence of God. There's a series of questions that I would like to ask this morning, and see if anybody can answer all these questions. If you can answer all these questions, then you will be on your way to attaining this degree. The first question is, what was the first novel ever written on a typewriter? All right, see how many people, you don't, just in your mind, you don't have to shout the answer out, just in your mind. If you can answer that question, just answer it in your mind. What was the first novel to ever be written on a typewriter? The second one is, which is the world's smallest flightless bird? What is the world's smallest flightless bird? Okay. If feline is cat-like, what is ranine? All right. If feline is cat-like, what is ranine? All right. Number four. Truth alone triumphs is the motto of what country? Truth alone triumphs is the motto of what country? Who wrote the original tale of Goldilocks and the Three Bears? Who wrote the original tale of Goldilocks and the Three Bears? Now, here goes one. All of y'all should get, especially maybe the kids. What street does SpongeBob SquarePants live on? All right, how many people know that one? All right. Now, if you got grandkids, you should know that one. I'll tell you what, man. I'll let that go. Number seven, what is a quirt? What is a quirt? All right, number eight, what is the most common surname in France? Surname, first name. All right. Number nine, the curse of Scotland is a nickname used for which playing card? If you got a deck of cards, the Curse of Scotland is a nickname used for which playing card? All right. And then the last one. What was the day of the week, time, date, and year Pastor Glaze accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior? All right. How many people got them all right? You better not put your hand up because I know you're lying. All right. Somebody said I didn't get any right. So how many got, anybody get one right? Oh, you got one right, all right? You got one. More than one? One. So the most we got in here is one. So you can't even get into what I'm talking about this morning. Why? Because there is somebody that knows all the answers to those questions. You don't know everything. So you can't get in. The average person in this world doesn't know everything. So they can't get in. There's only one person that knows all the answers to those questions and even much more. He knows everything. And that's why I put those questions up there. Because I wanted us to understand that maybe at some point our brain was grinding to try to think of the answer. Now, I do have the answers up here, and I'll leave them on the back when I go on the back if you want to see the answers, all right? But our brains were grinding, and why were our brains grinding? Because we were trying to come up with and think about maybe what the answer was. And then there might have been some people say, I ain't even going to try. So you didn't even try. But just think that there is a God to the difficult, to the hard questions in life. He knows all the answer. You know, I think about what I heard a guy was talking about. He was talking to an atheist. And, atheist didn't believe that there was a God. And so, you know, he asked the atheist. He said, now you say there's not a God. He said, do you know everything that there is to know? And the atheist was honest and said, no, I don't. Then he said, well, how can, in your limited realm of knowledge, can you say beyond a shadow of a doubt, there is no God? You see, nobody can say that. I mean, and I realize you can flip the argument and say, well, how can you say there is a God? Well, you know, there's so much evidence in the world for God. And I wish I had time to go through the arguments this morning to prove the existence of God. But nobody knows everything. Except the one guy, he put a sign up in the library. And this was years ago. He had just bought a brand new set of encyclopedias. Brand new set of encyclopedias. And he put a sign up in the library that said brand new encyclopedias, up to date, just bought. And somebody said, why, this is the back in the day before you could go on the internet and Google and find answers. This is when you really needed an encyclopedia. And somebody went and asked him, why you just bought them, why are you selling them? He said, well, I bought them as a gift for my son who just graduated from high school. And he thought that he knew everything, so he didn't need them. So that's the only person that knows everything, right? You know, sometimes we deal with people in our life. They think they know everything, but they don't. In comparison to the knowledge, the mighty knowledge of God. So we begin by looking at the first course as you think about qualifying for this degree. There are two courses, and the first course is what I call the omniscience of God. The omniscience of God. And so we see in verse 1 that God knows me inside and out. O Lord, thou searchest me and known me. That God knows you better than you know yourself. That sometimes we surprise ourselves. And you ever say to yourself, man, I can't believe I did that. I can't believe that I let myself get into this situation. And it's almost like, you know, you didn't know that it was going to happen, but you know what? Hey, there was somebody that knew. God knew. God searches us, and he knows us inside and out. Now, I remember when I was coaching football, we would begin on Monday, and we would start looking at the films of the opponent that we were going to play on Saturday. And we did everything that we could to know that opponent, every piece of film that we could get our hands on, that we would study it. And we would know their tendencies, and we would know who played that. We would know. By the time Saturday came, we would know that team. But just think, God, he doesn't need a film. He doesn't need 4 or 5 days. That God knows you inside and out. And you know, that can be a blessing, and that can be a curse. When you think about the fact that when I'm struggling and when I'm hurting, that God knows me and he knows what I'm going through. But he also knows when I'm in sin and I'm doing things that I shouldn't be doing, that God knows about that too. The knowledge of God. The psalmist said, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. In verse 2, we see that God knows our every movement. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. God knows when you will want to move. And so somebody says, well, you know what? I'm going to fake God out. I'm going to act like I'm going to sit out. Well, God knew you was going to do that. He knew you was going to do that. He knows every move. Every alley you travel down, every direction you can go, that just think, that's a powerful thought. You know, to think about that no matter where I'm at, no matter what I do, no matter where I turn, if I go straight, turn around, that God knows every move that I'm going to make. That's a powerful God. And then we see he knows our every thought. Thou understandest my thought afar off. That even before I think it, God already knows what I'm going to think afar off. Wow. That you know, if I've got evil intent in my mind, that God already knew I was going to be thinking about that. If I'm thinking how I can be a blessing to somebody, God already knew that I was thinking about that. Who else can claim to be able to do such a thing other than God? God knows the way of life that we travel. Verse 3, thou compass my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Every avenue of life that we travel, God knows it. Here goes a scary thought right here. Verse 4, he knows every word that's on your tongue. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it all together. Somebody said, well, you know what? I was thinking it, and it's a good thing I didn't say it. God already knew. He already knew that was on your tongue to say. And so, saints, that's why, you know, we need to work at keeping our hearts pure so that, you know, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. And if our hearts are not pure, then our thoughts are not pure. And the words of our tongue is not going to be pure. And God is already going to know it. But I thank him, as it was said earlier today, that God loves us unconditionally. Man, aren't you glad he loves you unconditionally? Because if there was conditions on his love to you, and then he's thinking about all the filthy things that you have in your mind, that you have on your tongue, and he still loves you. You know the very words that are on my tongue. And yet and still, you still love me. God, help me to live a life that pleases you. Help me to live a life, Lord, that you know, sometimes we are so worried about what man thinks. And we think about, I'm sure I'm glad that so-and-so don't know that I was thinking that. And I'm sure I'm glad that so-and-so doesn't know that was on my mind. But God already knows. The almighty God of the universe, he already knows. And so there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it all together. And then the psalmist says in verse 6, such knowledge is too wonderful for me, for it is high, I cannot attain it. God's omniscience is so superlative and exalted that no one, even the psalmist, could not begin to comprehend it. You will blow a fuse in your brain trying to think about the knowledge of God. You know, think about Jesus and what is said about Jesus in the Gospel of John. It said, many more things did he do than this, which if they could be written in a book, the whole world could not contain the volumes of the book. Let's just try to go down this road for a second. Let's just try for 1 second. Okay, let's just start. Those questions that I asked you earlier, God already knows the answer to all. He already knows that. Okay, then think about every psalm from the beginning of time that has ever been written, good or bad. God knows every song that has ever been written. Think about every person that has ever lived since the time of Adam. God knows who they were. Think about any little bit of trivial information. God knows all of it. Think about the most complicated and most complex piece of information. He knows all that. And then even beyond, his knowledge is infinite. There's no end to the knowledge of God. Our knowledge is capped. Our knowledge comes to an end. There's only so much that we can know. But God knows everything. And the psalmist tried to work his way through this, and he said, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. What a mighty God we serve. We serve a powerful God. And then the psalmist moves from the omniscience of God to the omnipresence of God. And so let's back up to verse 5. In verse 5, we see here that God is behind us and in front of us. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and thou laid thy hand upon me. As I was studying it out, one of the commentators said that God is like a prison guard, right? That he walks in front of us, he walks behind us, and then he grabs our arm and walks beside us. That wherever we are going, God is all around us. That wherever we go, we take a God who is omnipresent into that situation. That God is all around us. That he walks us through the darkness. He's with us in the valleys. He's with us on the mountains. That God is with us at all times. The omnipresence of God. We see that God is everywhere. Look at verse 7. He's everywhere. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence. You can't get away from God. You know, this is ridiculous. People thinking that they can get away from God. That you know, in the Bible, you know, it talked about Jonah. That God told Jonah to go to Nineveh, and Jonah got on a ship to go to Tarshish. He was going in the opposite direction. And what does the scripture say about Jonah? That he was trying to what? Flee from the presence. Are you crazy? Are you crazy? What's wrong with you, Jonah? There's no way in the world you can flee from the presence of the Lord. God is everywhere. You can't get away from him. And then the psalmist goes on to say, if you go to the highest heights of heaven or the lowest parts of the earth, that God is there. Verse 8, if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in, the word is hell, but the Hebrew word is Sheol, which can mean the lower parts of the earth. Not necessarily hell where there's eternal punishment, but the lowest parts of the earth. If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol, or the lowest parts of the earth, Lord, you are there. If I go to the uttermost part of the sea, verse 9. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Did you know that God is in the darkness as well as the light? Where you get that from, Pastor? I'm glad you asked. Look at verse 11. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Look, I think I can slip away, right? I can slip into darkness. And if I slip into darkness, then God won't see me. Oh, yeah? Yea, the darkness. Listen, the darkness can't hide you, man. What's wrong with you? The darkness can't hide you from God, but the night shines as the day. That the darkness, God, he can make it just like the day. And the light is both alike to him. And then God is even in the womb when a baby is being made. Wow. That he's present in the womb. Just think. Now, I don't want to be too graphic. We're here on a Sunday morning. But when the egg and the sperm come together, whether it's a married couple or unmarried couple, oh, Lord. When the egg and the sperm come together, that God is present at the union when that baby is created. Look at the next verse. For thou possess my inward parts. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. That when I was in my mother's womb, that God was present there with me. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of A Degree Beyond Our Reach from Psalm 139. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, A Degree Beyond Our Reach, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request A Degree Beyond Our Reach. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request A Degree Beyond Our Reach. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.